We've been looking for some time now and continuing to look today at the life of our Lord Jesus on this earth as he walked here. We've been studying about the last several weeks about the trials that Jesus had undergone before his crucifixion. We said there were six different trials that Jesus underwent before he was crucified. We've already looked at three of those trials. You remember him being brought before Annas, the former high priest, first of all, and then shuffled quickly to Caiaphas, the current reigning high priest. And then from there he was rudely taken before the Sanhedrin court of the 70 ruling members there. And now the Jews have done all that they could do to Jesus except execute him. And they did not have the authority to execute a person. So all their charges, all their verdicts and all their sentences were brought together. They all agree now that Jesus must die. So now then, to complete their plan of getting rid of Jesus, they bring him before Pilate. Now, I want you to look at some selected scriptures with me. We're going to study this fourth trial of Jesus now before Pilate. And we'll begin looking at the scriptures. I'm going to read them all with you. Then we'll use them as we look through the study together. The first scripture is found in Matthew chapter 27. If you look at verses 11 through 14, I'm just going to read selected passages. Matthew 27, 11 through 14. We'll begin there. There's an account, at least a partial account of all this in all four Gospels. We'll just look at those together. Matthew 27, 11 through 14. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now our next passage is in Mark 15. Turn over there to Mark 15. And look at verse 2 through 5. Mark 15, 2 through 5. Mark 15, 2 through 5. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now, then over here in the book of Luke, chapter 23, go to there, Luke 23. Luke 23, look at verses 1 through 7. Luke 23. Verses 1 through 7. We need to look at all these related passages to get the full understanding of this trial before Pilate. Luke 23, verses 1 through 7. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And then the related last passage is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 18, verses 28 through verse 38. That'll be our primary passage to look at together. John chapter 18, verses 28 through verse 38. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Then that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The Jews would not be satisfied until Jesus Christ was executed. They would be rid of him at any cost and at every cost. And they had now done everything they could except put him to death. So to get the authority for that to happen, they had to go to Rome. So now they scurry along and they bring Jesus before Pilate so that Pilate might pronounce the death sentence upon Jesus. Now they knew Pilate was a very merciless man. I mean, angry man, merciless man. He had told the Jews when he came in to be ruling over them, he said, Now, I'm not like the other rulers that you've had ruling over you. I want you to know right up front, I'm not going to be a pushover like your other rulers might have been. So then, that's exactly what the Jews hoped for when they brought Jesus before him, that he would be merciless and have Jesus executed without further ado. Well, that didn't exactly happen, did it? You know, the Passover was near, and Pilate had moved himself into the praetorium, which is a guard where the guards lived, the house where they lived, to kind of keep an eye on things because the Passover had just thousands and thousands of people coming in for the Passover feast, and usually there was some kind of uprising that might take place. So he moved himself in with the guards, or the officers, you might say, to kind of keep an eye on things and keep things in, you know, in law and order as it need to be. He was so surprised when he heard that the Jews wanted a hearing from him, seeing that the Passover feast was, you know, right in the middle of taking place, and they were so concerned about these things, he was surprised they'd want to hear from him and meet with him during the Passover. Well, the Jews couldn't go into the praetorium where he was staying because, you see, their law stated if they went into a Roman building, they would be defiled. So they couldn't partake and eat the Passover. So they couldn't go in where he was. So they asked him to meet with them. So to kind of, I guess you'd say, appease them, Pilate comes out into the courtyard to meet with the rulers. And by the time he came out in the courtyard was almost full of people. You had all those 70 members of the Sanhedrin court. You had all the ruling elders and the chief priests and all these scribes and all these people. The courtyard was almost full. And here they stood before Pilate in a kind of semicircle with Jesus right in the middle in chains. Face and head swelled from the beatings he had had. Dried blood on his body. And here they stood before Pilate. When Pilate came out and saw Jesus, he knew this matter had to be taken seriously. He couldn't just stand aloof, you might say, and just say, well, you know, you take care of these matters and you take care of it. No. There stood Jesus, beaten, swelled, and in chains and demanding Pilate's attention. Well, he addressed the council. If you go back to that John chapter 18 passage, look at verse 29 through verse 31. Pilate went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee, up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Well, they had done all they could do to Jesus except put him to death. When he said, "You judge him according to your law," well, they had done more, a lot more than what their law had said that they could do to Jesus. They had mistreated him on three different occasions, before Annas and before Caiaphas, and also then before the Sanhedrin court. But now they couldn't go any farther to get the death sentence, you see, an execution on Jesus. It had to come before a Roman ruler, and Rome had to make the death sentence. That's what they were there for. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, that's why we're here, they might would have said to Pilate. And Pilate said, "Listen, you go judge him according to your laws and your rules." Now listen, to Rome, heresy and blasphemy, it didn't matter to them because Rome had all kinds of gods. They didn't care about the Jews. They didn't care about the Jewish God who they said was Jehovah God and they only had one God. He didn't care. Rome didn't care. They wanted the Jews to take care of their own religious matters. And they were accusing Jesus here. And so he said, "You take him, you judge him according to your law." Well, they went a little farther than that. They accused Jesus of treason against Rome. Now, they knew that Rome would not stand for anybody being a traitor against the nation. They knew they wouldn't hesitate to put to death anybody who might stir up an insurrection against Roman rule. They knew that. They further accused him not just of heresy, but also of treason. They accused him of also being Christ the King. Now, they knew Rome wouldn't turn the head the other way when he was accused of being a heretic, you might say, and being accused of being a king. If he was a threat to Rome, execution indeed would be the effect that they had placed before Jesus. Well, they could overlook a lot of problems that the Jews had, but Pilate could not overlook this. They didn't care what Jews did, so long as it didn't do two things: stir up a strife against Rome, and then stir up enough problems in the community to have an unrest. That's things that Rome would not put up with, so they knew then here that they would have to present something else to Rome, a Pilate, against Jesus. Listen what they said in chapter 23 of Luke, verse 2. Luke 23, look at verse 2. Here's the accusations. Luke 23, 2. "And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this fellow perverting the nation.'" Now listen, that was a raise up your antenna to Rome. Perverting the nation? "And said, 'We also found him forbidding to give tribute to Caesar.'" Wait a minute. He's not going to pay his taxes? Now listen, Rome only cared about Rome. Rome only cared about money coming into Rome. When they say that Jesus refused to pay taxes, that would rise up a red flag in Pilate's mind. "And they further accused him, saying that he himself is Christ the King." So these three charges could not be, you might say, swept under a table and looked the other way. They accused Jesus of perverting the nation, refusing to pay taxes, and claiming to be king. Now, Jesus knew this. Pilate resorts to what he said in John chapter 18, verse 33 through verse 38. These questions to Jesus about Jesus being a king. Jesus said to Pilate, "Did you come to this conclusion, you might say, on your own? Or did somebody tell you about me? How'd you know about me?" Well, Pilate said to Jesus, "I'm not a Jew. Your own rulers have turned you over to me. What have you done? What is it that they're accusing you of? What have you done? So, Jesus wouldn't answer the rulers. And he said, you say you're a king? He said, you say I am. You say that I'm a king. Now listen, the age-old question came up as he talked with Pilate. He said, I am come to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate looked him right in the eye and he said, what is truth? What is truth? Age-old question, isn't it? Jesus, in another passage we'll use sometime later, says this, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Pilate did not come to his place and his position by following after the truth. I can promise you that. He looked at truth as then and truth as now. The response to people to the truth is just the same today as it was in the day of Pilate. Pilate was a scoundrel. He had a further up ruler in Rome who's a good friend of his and who kind of looked after him and promoted him because he liked him. And then this upper ruler got killed or died. Now then, Pilate didn't have anybody to kind of go to bat, you might say, for him. And Pilate knew that if there's one more controversy that came up concerning the Jews, his career was going to be in trouble. Because you see, he'd already got a letter from Tiberius, and Tiberius told him, listen, you better be sensitive to these religious needs of these Jews or you're going to pay the consequences. So he knew that if another uprising took place, that he himself would be in grave danger. Well, people rise to positions today not following the truth. They rise in many different ways. Let me share something with you that I ran across as I studied for this. Let me read something to you. When truth becomes servant of expediency, success no longer becomes a matter of seeking light and walking in it, but it turns to what shadow offers the best protection, having to live honestly and truthfully. Listen, you can look at Pilate, you can look at your life, my life, anybody else's life, and you can see what they choose, then you can see what kingdom they belong to. If they choose truth, they'll be in the kingdom of God and the blessings of God will rest upon them. If they choose error, just like Pilate did, we know what choice he'd made. He chose to go along with Tiberius Caesar, and he went along with Rome, and therefore he then paid the price for it. So you see, truth's the same today as it was then. Now, when Pilate looked out and saw Jesus beaten, bloody, bruised, in chains, I'm sure that kingdom was something he didn't want any part of. It didn't look real appealing to him to be a member of that particular kingdom. Well, his choice wasn't very favorable. Well, look at John 18:38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. I can imagine old Pilate wondered how all these negative things seemed to fall on him. There's no way he could be neutral in this particular decision here. Either way he went, he was between a rock and a hard place. Either decision he made, he was doomed if he did and doomed if he didn't. So he had a very difficult decision here to make. And he tried to skirt it off and say, well, I don't find any fault in him. Listen, the Jews weren't about to accept that for sure. So any way he went, any decision he made, there were going to be problems on one hand or the other. He had lost his support pretty much from Rome, and now the Jews were shouting at him almost to the point of rioting again. And now here he is making a decision, and he says, I don't find any fault in him. Look what it says, at all. Nothing. He wouldn't survive, Pilate wouldn't survive another uprising, or he'd lose his job. Maybe he'd lose his life. Yet here he faced one. The Jews stood accusing Jesus of being guilty of heresy, blasphemy, refusing to pay his taxes to Caesar, and also accusing him of being a king. But Pilate said, I don't find any crime he's committed here against Rome. I find no fault whatsoever. Well, this didn't appease the crowd. They were just on the very verge and edge of rioting. Well, Pilate didn't find Jesus any threat to Rome. He could care less about Jesus and the Jews, but he didn't see a threat to Rome. The Jews many times had appealed to Rome on certain discussions or occasions or problems, and usually the local Roman ruler who they appealed to, they'd usually end up getting kind of the upper hand on things because Rome had already said to the rulers, now listen, you've got to be sensitive to these Jews. If you mess with their religious rights, they're going to be upset. So you be as sensible to them and sensitive to them as you can when things come. So they'd always seem to get the upper hand. Well, now, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Well, hard decision to have to make. He's in a very difficult place. And the Jews just kept pressing the matter and pressing the matter and pressing the matter. Look at Luke, if you will, again. Look at chapter 23. Look at verse number 5. Luke 23, 5. They just would not give up. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now notice verse 6. Here's a good key verse. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Pilate just so desired to have some kind of an outlet from this particular scene he was confronted with. He wanted any kind of ray of hope to get this matter out of his hands. And when he heard the word Galilee, Jesus, we know, was from Galilee, but he's also from Nazareth. We know he said he's from Galilee. Well, wait a minute. There's my outlet. You see, Herod Antipas was the governor over Galilee, that territory. So actually, the jurisdiction of dealing with Jesus really didn't lie with Pilate at all. It should go back to Galilee and back to Herod Antipas. So there's a way Pilate used it as he would just pawn off, you might say, his responsibility and send him over to Herod and get the matter out of his hands. Well, that's what he did. Perfect way to wiggle, you might say, out of this particular situation. So he shifts Jesus over to Herod. Now, the trial you've just seen and witnessed here through the Scriptures, actually, Pilate was the one on trial, not Jesus. Amen? Pilate was the one who's actually on trial rather than Jesus. Yet now Jesus is just passed on again to another person, Herod, for another trial, which we'll look at the next time we come together. This was the fourth time now Jesus had been tried, from Annas, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, and now before Pilate. And now he's just passed off again to Herod for yet another trial. You know, over the many years I've studied, I've looked at these things, and sometimes you get familiar with passages that kind of gloss over the real truth behind them. When you start going back in depth and in detail and just kind of take them apart a little piece at a time, it really makes me appreciate what my Lord went through for me. All these six trials that He went through before He was actually taken to Calvary and He gave His life for you and I. Not yet is Jesus going to be freed. It wasn't the plan of God for Him to be freed. It was the plan of God for Him to come to the world, to witness to the truth, and to go to the cross and shed His blood and die on the cross and resurrect from the dead and rise again and go back to heaven, that you and I might have salvation full and free. I thank my Lord for all that He's done for me, for us, and all He continues to do. I don't know anybody who would ever gone through any of these trials for anybody else but Jesus. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves you and me.